It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 24, and we'll probably begin reading once again with that fourth verse and then read down through verse 14. And so please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24, verse 4 is where we're going to start. And I hope that you can follow along with us. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address here is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you'd like to call us, it's 217-847-2717. I'd like to visit our website. It'd be www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Got many studies there. I hope that you would enjoy them. I hope that you would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ through that study. The plan of salvation that God plainly and clearly lays out is there, as well as our church constitution, so you know exactly where we stand. And if you'd like to email us, you can email us at parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one will work just fine. Glad that you've been able to join us today. Now we're going to begin this study, and we begin it by reading God's precious word and then having a word of prayer that God will guide and lead us through it. Matthew 24, verse 4. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, shall kill you. Ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. This gospel of the kingdom and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." What a precious, precious scripture. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we have the opportunity today to come and to study and to search your precious word. So please guide and lead us now through it. We need your leadership. We need the Holy Spirit to direct us through this, and of course we need to be born again in order to have the Holy Spirit. Father, please, as you allow us to read the Word, that allows your Spirit to convict the hearts of all of us, lost and saved alike. For the lost, it brings them to a place, Father, where they recognize and know that they're a sinner and they're lost. And they need to come to you, to your Son Jesus that died on the cross and shed his blood for them and has handed that free gift of salvation to them if they'll just believe that that is the only way to be saved, is to believe in the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and him alone, not through any works of our own, not through any works of a church, but only through believing in Jesus that he died and saved me. And so, Father, please, that that would come. And then, Father, the Holy Spirit continues, because after we accept you as our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live within our heart. And then we have that joy each and every day, to be taught and possess the wisdom and the knowledge that you want us to have. And so, please, the joy, the peace, all those wonderful things. So, Father, please, guide and lead us now through this study. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We actually got ourselves down through the seventh verse, and we were reading many passages concerning earthquakes that had occurred during the time of the new church, the New Testament church here, as they would face different trials and different tribulations. And the last one that we read was concerning the two witnesses that that will come and testify during the tribulation. There'll be an earthquake at that time. Hope that you enjoyed that that study. And then it comes to that eighth verse and here in the scripture and says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Beginning of sorrows. That word sorrows is travail. In other words, labor pains. It's the beginning of the labor pains. And anyone that has given birth to a child, or any father that has been near when that has taken place, realizes the great pain and suffering and how that it kind of comes and goes for a period of time until the child is born. So we find that verse 5, 6, and 7 are the beginning of these birth pains that will continue and grow more and more severe, these birth pains. Please, that you look and understand this is a progressive point that he is making here. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Beginning with verse 18. 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed unto us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. So you see, this is going to continue until we either go through the grave, face death, or the Lord Jesus comes to get us, what we call the rapture of the church, and that'll be the end of the church age. So those things are here to look forward to. Now, if we go on back to Revelation 21, Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 through 5, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. What a hope that we have. What a promise we have. There will be a day when the tribulation will end. There'll be a day when the sorrows and the pain and the suffering will be gone. What a beautiful hope that we have. We need to understand that things will not get better in this life. They're going to get worse and worse each day. Paul tells us in 2 Timothy, let's go back there, and we've got several verses to read. Going to be in the scripture many places today. And so let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. We've got many verses here to read. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Listen to this, how this was written back 2,000 years ago. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sin, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. My, that's the case today. Now, as Jannes and Jabez withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. With persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Deceiving and being deceived. And as we read this earlier, isn't this so true today? Lovers themselves, coveted, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. That's today. As today, things are getting worse and worse, and I believe that God is chastising this nation. He is bringing judgment down upon this nation. Sad, sad day when we turn our lives and our hearts over to the devil instead of to our God. We come then back to Matthew. Got several verses of scripture in Acts, 1 Corinthians, back in Matthew, John, 1 Peter, we're going to read yet. Matthew chapter 24, verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, shall kill you, ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. This is from verse 8. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. And then we have that verse of scripture. Be delivered up to be afflicted, killed, hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then doesn't mean not after, but during the time. And we're in that time of travail. Many were forbidden to speak the word Jesus. Forbidden. Let's go back to Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. Several verses of scripture here we're going to read, so just enjoy them. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came unto them. being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They laid hands on them, put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men were about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexandria, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power, or by what name, have ye done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, remember we talked about being led by the Spirit. Without question, Peter was led by the Spirit here. Verse 8, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deeds done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of the builders, which is become the head of the cornerstone. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved." Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For they indeed, a notable miracle hath been done by them, is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but bespeak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them, because the people, for all men, glorified God for that which was done. What a text. What a precious scripture. What's the problem here? And we have the same thing today. When good is done, it seems that there's so many that are evil that want to deny it. They want to question it. They want to persecute those that are proclaiming the truth. We go out with the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Why would anybody not want to have their sins forgiven and to be set free? Why wouldn't you want that? You want to die in your sin? You're going to go to hell. You say, "I don't believe that." Well, it doesn't matter what you believe, because the Word of God confirms it and tells us very clearly that either you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone, not by any works that you have done, or not by any works, again, of a church or an organization, but what you have done on your, you know, to trust in Jesus is the only way. What you've done is not going to do anything, any works, anything that you've tried to do to make yourself clean and right. It's not going to work. You must come by faith to Jesus and Him alone. Now, why wouldn't you do that? What would be the issue with that? It's because wickedness is in the heart of man. Wickedness was in the heart of these men, that when they found this man made whole and they could see it, they knew it, the people could see it and knew it that were around, and yet they still wanted to take these men out They wanted to kill him. They wanted to beat him. They wanted to destroy him. They wanted to stop him in some way, but they couldn't do anything because there were so many people present. Let's go to Acts 16. Again, persecution. Back here in Matthew, verse 9, then shall they be delivered up to be afflicted, to kill you, to hate you, to be hated of all nations for my name's sake. That's where we're talking about here. And we're back down to Acts chapter 16, verses 23 and 24. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. Why? Because they were preaching the gospel, telling the truth, trying to save the souls of the lost. We know what happened next. What a wonderful message. And we'll just go on here just for a minute. It was midnight. Paul and Silas prayed and were singing praises unto God, and the prisoners heard it. Now, can we do that as a believer? If you know Jesus as your Savior, being in stocks, let's go back here in verse 24, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison. That's just basically a pit down in the bottom. Probably mud, wet, damp, everything climbing on the walls you can imagine, bugs, who knows what, made their feet fast in the stocks. What were they doing? They were praying and singing praises. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. Remember, these earthquakes arrive on time, don't they? So that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew a sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, we're all here." Then he called in a light and sprang in, and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" That's a question that I want you to ask today. What must I do to be saved? And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Please. And the reason it says in the last part of that, "and thy house," is because many, many times when mom and dad, grandpa and grandpa, when you get saved, it trickles right down to the whole house. Not because that's just what happens, but it's because your testimony and witness, and then they do the same. They come by faith, and they trust in the Lord Jesus. Let's go to chapter 18. We read a little more there than I intended to, but that beautiful message is, we needed to touch it. Acts 18, verse 12. And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, "This fella persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law." That was a lie. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names of your law, look ye to it. For I will be no judge of such a matter." And he drew them from the judgment seat. Even their own people, the Jews, went after him, persecuted him a great way. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes more measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. 40 stripes will kill you. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. I journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in the perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger, in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and in nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Look at those words. All these things I have faced, all these things I do. But what does it say down there in verse 28? The care of all the churches, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily is the care of all the churches. He had such a love for the believers. These were brought about by the persecution from his own people, the Jews. We also have words here of killed. Not only does it say, and they delivered you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. Acts chapter 12. We have many examples here. Acts chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Next part is hated. Ye shall be hated. And we have many examples of the slaughter and the killing. Hated here really applies to the Jews being hated. Yes, the believers, also the Christians today, and we have many verses of Scripture with that as well. But the hatred not only comes to the believers like Paul and Peter and John and all those that stand for the gospel, and especially in the early days of the church, they were so persecuted. And we've had generations of that. We've had times of that through the past generations, that there has been so many wicked, but there has not been a people slaughtered more than the Jewish people. They're God's chosen people. So you can see very clearly how the world hates, despises, even to the place of murder, anyone that stands for God. Even though the Jews have missed Jesus, and they have faced great persecution for nothing, and those that have died without trusting in Jesus went to hell in the name of Jehovah God. And yet, the Son of God, Jesus, has come to earth to seek and to save those that are lost, and they missed him. There's going to be a regathering time during the tribulation period where there'll be 144,000 Jewish missionaries that are going to go after these, and there's going to be a multitude of folks saved. So we're going to begin here with this hatred section here in this verse next time we get together. It's so important that we enjoy and we study the Word of God. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?